love me, yeah they love me. First love yourself. For that, and God we trust. Trust me, I don't trust myself. Your jewelry, I get it to. No show.
Welcome back to It Is What It Is. This episode is sponsored by Underdog Fantasy. The app is an easy way to make some cash just by making picks on your favorite players. Underdog is available in more than 30 states, including California, Texas, and New York, just to name a few. Make sure to support the show by hitting the link in the bio and downloading the Underdog Fantasy app. They'll also match your first deposit up to $100, and you get a special pick when you sign up. I'm Treasure Wilson, aka Stat Baby, along with your hosts, Mace and Cam.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
Killer, what's good,
you looking
man?
For something in your notes? I already see what's going on before the show starts. You ain't like that yesterday. You ain't like that. It's cool. Stat, how you, man? I ain't see everybody in a little minute in the same room. How you been? You been all right? Now, I don't know if y'all see what happened yesterday. I see. Good. Shut it off. Good.
Yeah, them niggas in Ohio is crazy.
Good.
Yo, do you remember a song?
I knew it. I knew it. You said, looking too hard.
Well, you pause. Said, you two live crew. You so horny. You a choosy thug. You give a booty a hug. You remember that rap?
If I'm talking about two live crew, you know what they was doing. That's not a good one at all.
No, and then you said,
okay.
You want the dookie love?
That's what Two Live Crew said. Dude, you wasn't, we was in school humping on them joints when that came on.
Love, though?
You know, though, you was there. You know what Two Live Crew was talking about. That was not a good one. You should have saved something else. You
a
was,
booty hug is crazy.
And first of all, I don't even know the song, but I preferenced it you from said, the beginning with
I'm
Two
a
Live Crew.
Thug, I get your booty hugged.
Say the Two Live Crew first, Murder. Didn't
face
I say
down.
Two Live ass up.
Get it. I need some dookie love.
That ain't what Two Live Crew said? Right or wrong? Chat might not know. That's Two Live Crew.
Stat, like, is that crazy?
Is it?
He needs some dookie love.
That's already the song. It's not crazy if that's what they say.
Listen, man. This is what
He's
I'm
like,
trying
oh,
to tell
Stat.
You, man. This is what I'm Stat. Saying. This is what I'm Stat. Saying, man. This is the point. You know what you would have caught me because I don't know what the song is from. If you didn't say Two Live Crew, you would have had me, bro. You would have had me because I would have said, well, damn, I don't know what that is.
You got some else. Some
else. Yeah.
I'm not going to go there. I got like 10 of them because I came prepared today.
Yeah. Well, listen, man.
In case you want to go.
Listen, man, I'm not arguing with you about things, man. This is what happened, P, since you here. Hey, this is what happened. I'm going to tell y'all, bring y'all up to speed on what happened. He got a bar that says, I want to give niggas heat with no AC. If niggas think I'm sweet, then taste me. That never been slang. Like, yo, nigga, you think I'm sweet? Come taste me, nigga. Like, yo. This nigga. You know what time this was, nigga. You know what was going on. This was that dookie love. You didn't even know how to dance, nigga. So, nigga, you know what this was, nigga. That's what I was talking about when I said dookie love boys. I'm talking about what the Two Live Crew was doing with them females in them videos, man.
Yeah. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah.
You know the man outside the window went like this.
Yeah.
He put the thumbs up.
Yeah, man. That's what I was talking about. Shout out to Uncle Luke and the rest of the crew, man.
Yeah.
Y'all really made my childhood, well, not my childhood, for about 11 years old to about 15 years old, you didn't have to know how to dance. See, Mace, he knew how to dance, and I'm not saying bad. Like, he's a good nigga in the party where we put the circle around him. that'd be him. Me, I waited for Uncle Luke to come on and Jamaican music so I could just hump. That's all I had to do. Jamaican, Shabba Ranks, Patra, all them niggas. And Uncle Luke, I stood on the wall in the party till that shit came on and I started going crazy. I want to send niggas heat with no AC. If niggas think I'm sweet, then come taste me. Crazy.
You're basically just delivering your argument better, but it's not a better. I mean, It's not more flagrant than you need some Dookie love. I'm just keeping it real. It's,
that's fine, but if you're
that is just biased today.
I'm just saying if you shouldn't have said the Two Live Crew, you would have had me with New York, because I would have been like, damn, I said that, but then you put the Two Live Crew. We already know what that was about, man. You know about Two Live Crew?
I know of them.
Yeah, see.
Some.
Yeah, you from down there.
That's good, Stat. You know some. You know some Florida stuff. That's good. What are we talking about today, Stat?
Okay, we gotta get into it. And then let me apologize to everybody for missing the last episode. I had to handle some business because y'all definitely came for me in the comments, and everybody was sending a clip of you calling me a sucker because you was talking about some point that you made. I would have had your back yesterday. But today...
No, did you have...
Yeah,
so go ahead. Go ahead. Give me my flowers. Give me my flowers.
You did say that he was going to make it in the league on somebody's team, and he did. So shout out to the Suns for picking him up.
I said the Suns.
You didn't... I don't remember you saying the Suns specifically.
I did say the Suns. Stat. Don't backtrack. Give me all my flowers.
I'm giving you your flowers, but I don't remember that specifically. But you did call it.
I did. Killer, sir.
Yeah, you know what happens is... It's just that when... When you're not used to being right all the time, you want to keep going on and on and on and on about it. When you're right, you say what you said, and then you move on.
I just always have somebody trying to dip in my credit. You know? No. I dip in my credit. She don't want to give me my credit.
You're not right. You got to keep playing. You got to keep saying, yo, you know I was right. You know I was right. You know I was right. That's what happens. But we need to inform him that he was right because it's not that often. So therefore, Mace did say the Suns. And he did say that Isaiah Thomas was going to be on the team. I'm going to be honest about it. He said it.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, he did one of those
That's
two.
That's what Mace wants. Okay. So first, top of the show, we're going to talk about Caitlyn Jenner and Lamar Odom are launching a new sports podcast. And the podcast will be called Keeping Up with the Sports. What do you guys think about the concept?
Yeah, boy.
Nah.
Welcome back, baby. Nah. Welcome back, everybody.
Yeah. No, I don't know what to think about this. I think it's one of those things when you think Caitlyn Jenner and you think of Lamar Odom, I think this is going to be one of those things where it end up turning out to be a grand hit, or it's going to not do well at all. But it's not. Paul's going to be in between. It's going to either be super celebrated or fizzling out fast. It's going to be one or the other. Because I think the components that are in there are people that will be very opinionated. They have nothing to lose, which makes all of the criteria for a great show. And I'm all for people finding a new space of work and reinventing themselves. So I like to see what was said. I think Lamar Odom would do great because he's from Queens. He had a wild life, and he probably have a lot to say. That makes for a good show on his part. I can't speak for Caitlyn.
I don't know, man. Fuck. It's like, Sal, you know, it's all some fucking Khloe Kardashian shit, man. You know what I'm saying? Baby father, stepfather, right?
Yeah.
It's some whole, this shit screams... Oh, Kris Jenner all over it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. This is what Kris Jenner do. I don't know if she has something to do with this, but she puts these plays together. And if she's behind it, pause. I think that it'll work. She's known for making shit work. I have no idea if she's behind it or not. I'm just thinking about the scenario. And I'm like, she does know how to make shit happen for that family. Does and let me ask you this, because I don't know. Does... Lamar have a baby with them, or they was just married? They're just married, no kids?
No kids.
Yeah, I was thinking she might have been looking out for the little ones. Like, this nigga ain't helping the little ones out.
But, so if she's not involved, do you think it works?
People will watch. Am I one of the ones that watch? Probably not. Mm-hmm. But I think people will definitely watch. I don't fucking know.
You don't know how to feel about it, Paul.
Yeah, I know, but I ain't going to say everything. You know what I'm saying? It's like, because, you know, Lamar, my man, too. That's my nigga. And he had a little, like, rough patches. and shortcomings. And he had a great career, too, at the same time. Look, Kobe doesn't win a couple of them championships without Lamar. So I just think a lot of shit off the court. A lot of times, not just Lamar, and I'm not saying Lamar, a lot of people fuck up their legacy by what they do off the field or off the court. And you forget what wonderful shit they did for you to originally know them. And, you know.
That's a good point.
Yeah, you got Lamar where some might say, ain't that nigga who was in the whorehouse for 62 days out there in Vegas? And couldn't stay. He just bumped for 62 days straight or whatever it was. How many days he's out there, Larry? And Lamar. Yeah. Yeah, with some shit where he died, right? He almost died and came back to life. Like, I was exaggerating 62, but it wasn't just him having sex. Like, he fucked till he died. They brought him back to life.
Then was brought back to life.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And then you got Caitlyn Jenner to where, you know, I used to watch this show time to time. I wasn't really big on watching it, but if I catch it, I catch it. And the way they just abused him on the show was kind of wild. Like,
what do you mean by abuse?
I think they didn't treat him right before he became Caitlyn. I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about, like.
I thought you meant like whipping him.
Verbal abuse to me.
Oh, okay.
I think that even before he became Caitlyn, that I didn't like the way he's talking to him. You could tell he's like an introvert. Just my opinion on. I don't know all the facts. If I'm watching the show. This is what I'm taking from the show. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of all over the place. The more the story, do I think it'll work? Possibly.
Yeah. Definitely something interesting to see. Okay, moving along. DeAndre Ayton says that sleeping on an air mattress earlier in the season could have led to his early season struggles. He said, my body wasn't just my body. People forget the humane difference of me adjusting to everything. That included something as routine as getting proper sleep, just being comfortable and waking up. I didn't have a bed for quite some time. I was on an air mattress, so I was just trying to figure this out. So thoughts on his reasoning, or at least one part of his reasoning.
Your big ass can't fit on an air mattress. Pause, nigga. You 7'1". What air mattress did you get? Why would you get an air mattress? You're 7'1". What air mattress you got? Where did you go to get a 7'1 air mattress, nigga? Nigga, your knees was hanging off the air mattress. Pause. Come on, my nigga. I'm tired of him and his excuses. Didn't he say he was frozen in and he couldn't get to a game or something because there was too much ice outside or some shit like that?
You
like,
talking about DeAndre?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you just said it was frozen and you couldn't get to the game because you was snowed in or iced in or whatever and you couldn't get in. Pause to the game. Now you got a season-ending injury from my air mattress. Bro, you are a professional athlete. You have to stop making excuses. If you can't get your life together as an adult, then hire somebody to help you get your life together as an adult. And not only an adult, as a professional athlete. What happened with DeAndre Ayton, and I didn't notice, but Mace last season or during the offseason of the NBA had alluded me to something, and I didn't notice. I didn't realize. We know he's from the Bahamas, but I didn't realize that he went to high school in Phoenix, if I'm not mistaken, you said, Mace.
Yeah.
He played in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And then you went to the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah.
So basically, since high school, he's been in Arizona, and now you're not, and you're throwing a tantrum about it. Grow up.
It's too cold for him.
Yeah, whatever it is, he's used to being in Arizona, and now he's not. And I get it. It's a change, but this is what professional athletes are be about. Every time, as much, and look, like I said, we talked about him the other day. We give Patrick Beverly a lot of slack, have fun with him up here. But he's an ultimate professional because he keeps a job. He doesn't cry when he gets traded. He doesn't bash the last team he was on. He gets in and tries to figure out what role he needs to play when he gets to a new team. This is what being an NBA player is about if you have a unless you have a no-trade clause in your contract. If you're not good enough to get a no-trade clause contract, then you can't complain. That's on you. And right now, what you're doing seems like complaining. I wouldn't even said that dumb shit. Yo, it's an air mattress situation. What, you have 6 air mattresses, nigga, so you can sleep? You cannot fit on an air mattress, bro. And you sound stupid. And
that's probably how he hurt himself. He put 2 mattresses together and tried to get freaky and fell in the middle of those 2 air mattresses. Bro. And hurt himself. He probably hurt himself trying to get freaky.
Yo,
it's
bro.
A freaky season. Yo, you know?
It might be, but whatever it is, I wouldn't have said it. I wouldn't have said it. You should have kept that shit to yourself.
How else can you get hurt on the air mattress? Isn't that the whole point of the air mattress? For the floor not to hurt, right? Pause. So if you got an air mattress, it's supposed to be better than... Because I remember being in the studio, sleeping on an air mattress, writing raps. To have an air mattress, you actually is supposed to be more comfortable. So if he got hurt... He fell in the middle, probably, of the air mattress.
Mason, no what? Air mattress.
He put 2 of them together.
I get like what you're saying.
You know, because you're thinking he's too tall for one. So he probably got creative and said, I'm going to put 3 of these together. Hit a freaky move and fell in between those air mattresses.
That's a wild pause. You thinking about him getting freaky on 3 air mattresses is wild.
That's the only way you're going to get hurt on the air mattress.
That nigga not hurt. That nigga crying. I mean, I'm, if that's what's in your brain, I can't stop it.
The only way you could get hurt with an air mattress is to fall off it. How could you fall off it unless you try to put... You know when niggas is poor, he probably remembering times when he was poor, you try to put the mattresses together. Anybody watching this, do you ever remember putting mattresses together? People that couldn't afford a queen. I'm in a king bed. They put 2 queens together.
This sounds absolutely ridiculous, to be totally honest. That nigga's 7'1". If he couldn't figure out a bag by the time he was 14 from some drug dealers or somebody else to pay him, well, since he's 14, that's his own fault. What I was going to say is this. I'm not going to... interrupt your fantasy of him on them air mattresses. Air mattresses die out anyway. They don't even last the whole night. Them shit's gonna...
They don't. Oh, I didn't know that.
If you slept on an air mattress, you would notice. Now, what's up with your story? I thought you were sleeping on
the mattress. I said I was in the studio. This studio, just sleeping and get up and write a rap. I didn't stay on the air.
Okay, I didn't know. Yeah. Air mattress ain't lasting the whole day and all that shit. By the time you wake up, pause. That shit is a dub, yo. It's over.
Then that's probably how he hurt himself.
I hear you. That nigga ain't hurt. That nigga don't want to be in Portland. That's what that's about. That nigga homesick.
Okay, that was very interesting logic, guys. Let the audience decide what they think.
When people do something crazy, because they don't give us the right information, we have to figure it out.
Yeah, but my only thing was because you said they would put it together to lay on it if he didn't have enough money, but he is in the league. So that's why it's like, that's what I don't get. Like, I definitely understand putting the mattresses together if you need a bigger space.
You don't know rich niggas who do cheap stuff?
Yeah, but if you're an NBA player and your job is to perform well, why would you not get something that's going to help contribute to your performance?
The same reason you wouldn't go to the game and it's snowing and you stay at home. Right?
Basically, Mace, we're basically, you're answering your own questions. If you want to be DeAndre Ayton's attorney, that's fine. Y'all are losing bad. His case is not going well for him, man.
Yeah, he's trying to get out of Portland. I'm in agreement with that.
Okay, moving along. Audio release of Steph Curry telling D'Angelo Russell to get his bitch ass on the court. Do you guys think more of this energy is needed in sports?
What quarter was that when he said it? Yeah, you just had 40 acting crazy. I guess Steph wanted all the smoke. Pause.
What happened was totally I watched the game. What happened was LeBron was backing Steph down. Pause. And D'Angelo Russell was on the bench like, yeah, bro, back him down. And we all know, pause, we all know LeBron is 6'8", 6'9". Steph is 6'3", slim. LeBron's way stronger. So he's backing Steph down and D'Angelo Russell is on the bench gassing shit like, yeah. Yada, yada, yada. So when Steph came back down, 3, never 3. get your bitch ass off the bench and you get out here. That's what happened. You up here sucking dick, pause, on LeBron dick because you got to be. Matter of fact, you get out here and let's see what I do to you. Even though I'm killing these niggas while you on the bench, you get out here. So that's what happened. Steph didn't like the fact that he was pumping LeBron back him down, which LeBron should have done. That was the right thing to do. But D'Angelo Russell was on the bench talking mad shit about that. And then Steph just started going crazy. So then he told him, you get your bitch ass on the court. To answer the question, do we need more of that? Hell yeah, we need more of that. Look, I don't like the fact that the female NCAA got more beef than niggas in the NBA. And when I say beef, I mean not real altercation beef. You know, I'm going to come back to this game in a minute. But listen, Angel Reese, they lost to South Carolina. And she went straight to the press conference that we ain't going to make no excuses tonight. They got us, but trust me, we're going to see them down the road. Oh, believe that. She had a real attitude about believe that. We're going to see them again. And you may or may not see them again because it's the tournament. And, you know, somebody lose, somebody doesn't make it past a certain round. But she was so mad that she's starting a problem for next game. She's the same one that went up to Caitlin Clark and was doing the Tony Yayo and all this to Caitlin Clark. You know, she's pointing at the ring. Not only that, the girl Camilla from South Carolina, she was talking shit back then. I'm sitting there watching this shit like, where's this shit for the niggas? They had a problem. I like when there's problems, not when it's altercations. I like when it's competitive problems. And I don't see that in the NBA. So when I seen that passion come from Steph the other day, I was like, yeah, this is what it takes. And then you got to realize these are people fighting for their playoff life. The Lakers and the Golden State Warriors, they're in the play-in right now. So, yeah, this needs to be, they need to have this type of attitude because potentially one of these teams could be going home. So I did like it. I definitely think we need more of that in sports. I'm not saying fighting and anything else, but competitive spirit, I do miss it.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I even when it came to that South Carolina game, and she ended up pushing the girl, right, all the way into the next quarter. I'm for all of that. I'm supporting it. I like when people want to win that bad that, you know, it resort to things that they got to be calmed down. I like people that you have to tell, chill out versus, yo, turn up. I like people like that. Yo, chill. That's my man. He ain't mean nothing about it. Don't hit him again, you know?
Yeah, I think we definitely need more of that. It's slacking. It's missing. It's too much kumbaya shit going on. I don't really like it. And when I seen that, that seems to look like they fighting for their playoff life. I like it.
So even when Steph Curry is saying this to D'Angelo Russell, that's exactly what he's supposed to say. Yo, mind your business, nigga. You on the side acting like a cheerleader, nigga.
Yeah, yeah.
Get on the court, nigga. What are you doing?
Facts.
And then you over there, get him, Bron. The nigga is like 8 inches higher, taller than me. What are you doing? You supposed to be out here.
Right.
And you on the bench celebrating this, nigga. You should be ashamed of yourself. You should really be ashamed of yourself. You supposed to be out here. Where all that energy you had when you had the 40 points? Mm-hmm. This is where you need the 40 points. I hate these Lakers that, and not personally, but as an athlete, that show up against the niggas who don't count, get 40 while niggas is hurt, or why niggas is on the bench, or 25 and 25, and then Joker come, and now, ooh, my eye.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, man.
It's a fact.
Where's that energy you had last time, man?
Yeah.
Get 25, 25 right now, man.
That's a fact.
Or it doesn't count. You know, niggas love to turn up. This is just this generation, though. You see this everywhere. People would love to turn up on niggas who ain't like that. And then when this niggas that's like that, they're like, oh, I don't want to be tricked out of my position. No, nigga. If you a thug, you supposed to go to jail, nigga. What are you talking about? It's where you supposed to go. Ain't nobody tricking you. That's your position.
Okay, so my follow-up question is, did you guys expect this energy from Steph Curry? Because a lot of people are saying that they didn't think Steph Curry had that in him to even say something like that.
Yeah, that kind of surprised me, too. I thought Like, I thought Steph was Christian. But that's another take, you know. But I like it. I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
No, I mean, to be honest with you, I'm not surprised. Steph Curry does this on time, you know, from time to time. And I think that his image is so clean cut that sometimes they don't show a lot of shit that he says. I remember Jaylen Brown playing really, really good defense on him one season. This may have been 2-3 seasons ago. Excellent defense. And Steph just was making better shots. And they called the timeout, and Steph was walking to the bench, and he told Jaylen Brown, you know, I own you.
Yeah,
it's a clip
crazy.
Of that. Y'all can Google
that's
that.
That's crazy.
Yeah, you can actually Google that. Sin sent me the clip yesterday because I couldn't find it. I was thinking about it. But yeah, he told Jaylen Brown that he owns him.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, you're not going to be as good as Steph Curry without having a little dog in you. Pause.
Yeah.
Not, you know, a lot of people, oh, he's light-skinned. Oh, he's the baby face assassin, this, that, and the third. You gotta have that in you, pause, to be the person, to be the basketball player that he is. But I'm pretty sure he talks shit a lot of times, but it's just not out loud. You know what I'm saying? But it's a clear cut clip. If you ever, anybody wants to go Google it, you Google it while you watch the show. Steph Curry telling Jaylen Brown from the Boston Celtics that he owns him. And it was disgusting, the shit that he was doing to Jaylen Brown that day. So I think it doesn't really surprise me because you need that. And just because you don't always see it, that doesn't mean it's not there.
Yeah, and I think some of the most dangerous people are people that seem like they're not like that. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't see it coming. Like, that's what makes him so dangerous. He comes across as this clean-cut guy. Just no problems, and then he busts out with something like that.
Right, absolutely. And then even last year, I don't know if you guys remember, first round they played the Sacramento Kings, mm-hmm. Golden State Warriors, and Sacramento was looking good, like they could possibly win the series. You know, Mike Brown was coaching, former assistant coach for the Golden State Warriors, who's now the head coach for the Sacramento Kings. And it looked like, oh, Mike Brown might be over there telling niggas secrets, man. Fox, Monk, these niggas looking good. And after every game they won at home, Sacramento, that is, they would hit this light, and the light would go up in the sky that they won the game. Some purple light that goes up through Sacramento some type of way that lights up the city or whatever. And they hit this button every game they won. And I remember it was game 7, and Steph Curry and them knew they was going to win. They was up probably about 6-7 points with like 20-something seconds left. And Steph is on the court, and Steph is like, yeah, hit the button, pointing at they bench. Hit it. Hit the button. Because I don't know if y'all know, when they just did it the other day. I forget the Sacramento Kings. When they win big games, it's this button at the scoreboard that they hit that lights up outside the arena and lights the sky up. And Steph Curry looked at them motherfuckers like, y'all been hitting that button for 3 games, but it won't be 4.
Won't hit it tonight.
It won't be 4. And he was doing this the whole time, pointing them. Yeah, hit the button. So yeah, I wouldn't piss that nigga off. That light-skinned nigga dangerous, man.
Yeah.
Okay, and then before we go to break, after looking at the NBA rookie power rankings, Wemby still remains on top. Do you guys believe anybody can take his spot?
As a rookie, mm-hmm. I think that's an easy question. Stat is nobody's even near Wemby right now. I don't think there's nobody like in that same stratosphere as on Wemby when it comes to rookies. Other than Chet was a little close, but right now it seemed like some distance has been made between that. And when it comes to Wemby, we all knew from the start of the year that was a foregone conclusion. That they were going to do everything. And when I say they, the NBA was going to do everything in its power to make sure that kid is a star. They had to do it for branding purposes. Unless he just stunk it up, they was just going to put everything in his favor. I think that's why it's such a touchy league. I think he plays into that. And also, but I think he's a great talent. And I think you do have to, from a branding standpoint, make sure that he's able to thrive in the system that you set up because, pause, he's the future when it comes to the NBA. No matter what people think, no matter what they want to think, he's the one everything is pointed towards. So they got to make sure he does well. Even though half of the season he didn't pass Cam's eye test, and he definitely didn't pass my eye test, but the stats were always like 20, 18 and 15, 20 and 10. And it just didn't look like that, but I guess that's what it means to really be great when you can produce these kind of numbers and it doesn't even look like that. I knew people growing up, it was like, yo, that didn't seem like he had 30. He had 30? Yeah, but we used to call it a quiet 30. He was having a quiet double-double, 20-10, 18-15, all during the year, and it never felt like it. So I think that's my new perspective on it. Before, I just looked at it like Cam said, and I agree with it still. He didn't pass the eye test, but that's another way to look at it.
Yeah, they gonna give it to the nigga. Me, personally, right now, my personal opinion.
Chet?
I would go with Chet, just me personally, man. I would go with Chet, man. Just me personally, because you gotta realize, I'm and I know we gonna say that this Shai is there, Shai, however you want to pronounce it, first team All-NBA, et cetera. But don't act like Shai was on niggas' radar neither 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Niggas wasn't thinking about Shai. Like, when the NBA rankings came out the end of last season,
yeah,
and he was number one, niggas like, who this? Not me, but niggas like, number one? I was shocked at number one for first team All-NBA. And it's looking like he may be on the road to do it again.
Yeah.
So me personally, I'm going to go with they're going to give it to Wimby. And I'm going with Chet, just personally. We can read the numbers. Look, Wimby's averaging 20.8, 10 rebounds on 46% shooting. Chet, he's averaging 17 points, 8 rebounds, close to 3 assists on 54% shooting. On the number one team in the West. Now, this is very productive numbers on the number one team in the West. This is a contribution, and you're shooting over 53% from the field.
Yeah.
These numbers that Wimby have are great, but they're not equaling in the wins. And I know he doesn't have a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I know that.
Yeah.
But don't sit and act like y'all been know Shai was a killer for years, neither. Come on now. You know, at the end of the day, I like Chet, but I understand. I understand.
Do you think, what would you say to people that look at Chet's rookie of the year like Ben Simmons, like a red shirt?
You know, I just had that convo 3-4 days ago. Again, I said that I'm not mad at either side. Whatever side you go with, I'm not mad at, because you physically can't play, but you're around the team. So even if you can't play, you're around maybe veterans, coaches who could teach you little shit that you may not learn when you're in college or not around an NBA team.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, when you hit the elbow.
Yeah.
So when you back, all that little information counts.
Yeah, it matters. It matters. The cheat sheet.
Yeah, so you get the cheat sheet. So either way, I'm not mad, because physically you didn't play, but at the same time, you're getting knowledge. But knowledge isn't always productive on the court. You can get all the knowledge you want and then don't produce. So if somebody said that they were against that, I wouldn't be mad. If somebody said they were with it, I wouldn't be mad. Me personally, I'm indecisive about it, because I just don't have an opinion on it. I just think I don't know. If you tell me, Cam, you got to pick one, I'm going to pick, if you're around the NBA team, then you can't get rookie of the year. You're getting too much knowledge. You're traveling. You're learning shit. You're seeing stuff from the floor that you can adjust and make, not adjust, but you can make adjustments in your game moving forward when you do become a pro. So if you're telling me I have to vote, I'm going to vote. Once you're with a team and you don't play, you can't go for rookie of the year because you're gaining NBA knowledge. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. That was an NBA purist comment.
One of
right
your takes,
there.
Huh? Yeah. Hey, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that
it,
was
man.
One of my takes
thank,
right there.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Right. Okay, and I agree. So we're going to go to break, and when we return, we will discuss Devondre Campbell's comments about the Packers.
She called this thing about toxic. 4 years and counting. Got you feeling like an option. Maybe I'm my own problem, babe. She's tired of hearing, I don't know. My stubborn in me won't fall. Oh, oh. Dealing with this thing called trust. But she really thinking about
she wanna be free.
Why am I in this woman?
She wanna
way?
Be free.
Hey,
she wanna be free.
Hell, I don't wanna see her walk away. I wish somebody told me the rules. Disagreements let her win, then it's cool. Even when I'm right to say.
Welcome back. Now let's get into our underdog fantasy picks of the day. Tonight, Dallas will play the Spurs. Underdog fantasy has Wemby at 39.5 points, rebounds, and assists. Do you have him higher or lower, Mace?
Interesting. I could see him somewhere. Pause close to that, but I don't got him higher, lower.
Okay.
How much? 39?
39.5.
Hello, I'm looking at his numbers. I just had his numbers pulled up. Even when he's averaging 20. Averaging 10 rebounds, averaging 3 assists. That equals up to 33.
Yeah.
Even with the points on the low.
Okay. Kyrie is at 25.5 points. Do you have him higher or lower, Cam?
Higher.
Higher, of course. That's Ramadan Ree right
Ramadan
there.
Ramadan Ree in y'all the building.
What, you see what's going on. You see this Dallas blue I got on? Yo, this is crazy for Ramadan.
Okay. Nigga, Ramadan Ree is a different nigga, though, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Luka's at 8.5 first quarter points. Do you have him higher or lower, Mace?
8.5
for the first quarter.
Come on, higher. You see this Dallas blue I got on, man? This is the Maverick blue, man. Can't say it's not. Killer, what you think?
First quarter points, I'm going to go lower.
Okay. Download the Underdog Fantasy app and you can make your picks too. Okay, so Devondre Campbell spoke about his exit from the Packers and aired out some things happening within the organization on social media. He said, "You want to know why we play better? Because I started going and having private meetings with the head coach, telling him we needed to be more aggressive. We needed more man and we needed to blitz more. And what happened when they listened to me? We played well and won. It's no coincidence." So he said a lot of other things, but that's one of the main quotes circulating. How do you guys feel about players speaking up about organizations and members they once played for?
I really think whatever happens in the locker room, Paul should stay in the locker room. I'm one of those people. But there's times when guys feel like they have to say these things. But I really don't see how it helps him. I really, especially moving forward. It's almost like the girl that talks about the nigga she just left. It's going to hurt her chances with the new dude she talked to, because if you know she runs him out back there, then you're not going to feel comfortable with her in the future. That's how I feel about this situation with him talking crazy about other people. Then it's like when you leave the Packers, are you going to say the same thing? And when you got this kind of reputation, I think talking about people you were with is almost like the last result. Me being a person that understands that, been through it, that's like the last result. It's something you sacredly try to stay away from. And when you do, you have to be at the point of no return.
Yeah, it was a great take. Like, look, it's going to just make it harder for another team to want to fuck with you. And then even if you're good, they're going to be like, why would you do that? And then it's meetings. Then they want to figure out what led to you doing this. Because it's like, yo, nobody needs that at their organization. Now, I get it. And that's part of being professional. This is, we all seem like the last 3-4 episodes, even dating back with Maurice when he asked us about his homeboy about being a professional, this is not professional. You know, if it's a nasty ending and I get it, the coach talks about you and the GM and you have to defend yourself, I understand it. But what happened is here, I don't know for a fact, but it seemed like he got blindsided. He thought he was in a safe space with Green Bay.
Yeah.
You know, that happens too. You know, like, and I be going back to Patrick Beverly again. No disrespect, Pat. But, you know, Pat Beverly was on First Take and in the offseason when Minnesota got eliminated from the playoffs. And he was on First Take talking about what Minnesota is going to do. And next year, you know, Ant-Man, and we got the team, and we gonna kill, and then da-da-da-da, and watch this. And 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, he was traded. You get what I'm saying? But did he disrespect Minnesota? No, he handled it. He got released. He got picked up by another team, and he kept it moving. So at the end of the day, being professional, and that's another thing too, Murder, that a lot of times, and it's just part of being an athlete. You think you're better than what you are in your brain. It's just part of being an athlete. And you like, yeah, nigga, I'm nice. I ain't gonna win. And then when they let you go, you feel blindsided. So now what he's doing, from what it seems like, is taking accountability for whatever success that the Green Bay Packers may have had in the last 2 years. I'm the one who called the meetings. Yeah. You feel me, Pete? If I ain't called the meetings, then shit wouldn't even fuck with LaFleur and his staff. My meetings is the ones who got us rounded up and got us into the playoff picture. And now in your brain, you're saying, watch them fail next year, because I ain't gonna be there for the meetings.
Yeah, you can't trust it. It's almost like we were talking yesterday about, or the day before about, well, maybe it was last week. We was talking about the babies and the athletes and things like that. And what's the chances of me overhearing a lady talk to another lady and say, oh yeah, I'm just trying to get my child support monthly up to 60 bands. How would you take that?
Who, me?
Yeah, if you just overheard. I was ear hustling.
Oh, I was ear hustling.
And I overheard it. I was like, wow, that's crazy.
What environment were you in? Child support up to 60 pairs. Where you was at?
Great question.
Where was you at to hear that conversation? It wasn't on the train. Where did you hear that somebody needed to get their shit up to 60 bands? That's the real question.
Yeah, trying to get it up to 60.
Where was you at?
Probably getting my nails.
You must go some expensive shit when you go to get your shit done. How would I feel about that? To answer your question, look, it's different scenarios with that. I know that a child doesn't need $60,000 a month, but they base it off of whatever the niggas making.
Yeah, but so, she got a few niggas, so that she was saying this one.
Oh, collectively 60.
Yeah, this one going to get it up to 60.
Okay. You saying there's a collective.
Yeah.
Talk to these young niggas.
I wanted to tell you on air, was right. Just like you told me I was right.
Yeah,
yeah. I got sources.
Yeah. As a collective, that's wild, because you like, one more. If I get one more, the hundo's in the
back. And niggas think they're in love, but that's the real finesse. The real finesse is you feel in love.
Yeah. I mean, look, bro.
I just wanted to let you know you was right.
Oh, no, thank you,
I heard
bro.
It for myself.
Well, thank you for letting me know that. But, you know, the problem is this, man. These young niggas don't know about these cougars, man. They still put vinegar in the bathtub, man. You know what I'm saying? They don't
get
know.
It like this. Yeah. Get it like this.
Yeah, get it tight.
He said she couldn't have been out there because it felt like
the pussy was so tight. They don't know. Them old bitches put that vinegar in the bathtub. Get they pussy back. Yeah. Nah, she ain't fucking nobody. Yeah. They don't got no idea about the shit, these tricks these bitches do, man. You know what I'm saying? And it's bad because what happens is we come across to where they may think we coming at them for some of these guys or whatever. And it's like, bro, we might be, but just take the lesson with it. Yeah. You get what I'm saying?
No, but we're actually not coming at them. Pause. We're trying to give them the game that we learned, like niggas gave us the game. Like, no, this people we told that they was with a digger, they just didn't know it.
Right. And not, and that's a great point. We're not coming at them because what happens is we not here digging in your business. It just happens to be across.
It's a public topic.
Exactly. It's a public topic, but these niggas is not ready for the cougars of the world today. They're not ready because what happens is the new cougars are not them old, what's shorty from Boomerang? They ain't Lady Eloise.
Man. They ain't Marcus.
Yeah, they ain't Lady Eloise. These bitches are seasoned. They still looking good. They getting their body done. They know how to stay in shape. They, you know.
Yeah, he takes this baby, take care of the body. Mm-hmm. This baby take care of the cars.
Yeah.
This baby takes care of the houses.
The average 40-year-old woman doesn't look like the 40-year-old woman 25 years ago. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So these niggas is not realizing their mentality because they still looking good. The knowledge is still there on what to do. They can't wait to turn a nigga out. They can't wait. So,
I just wanted to tell you it was right.
Nah, I mean, listen, Murda, even if you didn't tell me, it's obvious what's going on out here. We can sit here and look at it, man. So good luck. Good luck.
Just quick little comment, but like people be mad like when the shoe fits and it's like y'all be telling people what they should and shouldn't do. Yeah. And it's like people got to learn for themselves. Trust me, we all know. And I'm young, but like I definitely be listening because there's a lot of things that people need to pick up. But that's that. Okay, so we know the Lakers recently lost to the Kings and the Warriors. Seeing how the Lakers have been performing, what do you guys believe the Lakers' biggest weakness is?
I really think the Lakers, and this is going to sound crazy, but I have to say it, the biggest weakness of the Lakers is that they haven't figured out how to revamp LeBron's role. And I'll say that because when you have players that's deferring to him and they're going to pretty much be the people that you need in the offseason, you got to get them going first. You got to get the whole team into what they need to do because LeBron can get his paws as the game goes on. It's almost like when LeBron went down to Miami and D-Wade takes the ball out of his hand and put it in LeBron's hand because he understands in order for us to win, this person got to be the man. The sad part is that it's LeBron and AD, and it's both of their stars because he's trying to defer to AD, but AD is really not ready to do it night after night. And then there's somebody else that got to be that scorer and they don't have that person, but they're going to have to take the ball out of LeBron's hand, put it in somebody else's hand and say, go get us 30. Just like D'Angelo Russell, when he got that 40, that Laker team would be unstoppable if D'Angelo Russell could do that every night. But he's probably not at that place. But they're going to have to take the ball out of his hand, put it in somebody else's hand and say, get me 20 every night. Because if you get 20, this is a total different Laker team. If LeBron gets 40, they might still lose. If he gets 39, they might still lose. But if the white boy get 25 or D'Angelo Russell get 25, they are in the Western Conference Finals. And that's what they have to decide if they want to be great. Because sometimes you got to change your role to win. And I take nothing against LeBron. Greatest player this time. Nothing against him. But in order to win, they got to take the ball out of his hand, put it in somebody else's hand, and say, you get us 25. And then let LeBron get his after that. If not, it's LeBron versus the Warriors or LeBron versus this team, and he can't beat him by himself.
I don't even think LeBron want to be that type of nigga the way he has to score 40. I think the ball been in several people's hands, and they not delivering to where it has to go back to him for them to keep them even competitive. Austin Reeves, the white boy you was referring to, that nigga had opportunity after opportunity, and he stunk it up after he just got a brand new contract. Anthony Davis, like you just said the other day, nigga could have, he had lint in his eye and didn't come back in the second half. LeBron been trying, like you just said as well, they've been trying to give Anthony Davis the team. He just don't want the shit.
Yeah.
Not only that, it's always somebody injured. Christian Wood is out. Cam Reddish is out. Colin Castleton is out. Jared Vanderbilt is out. I look on the sideline, it's all designer. More designer than Laker jerseys on the sideline when you're looking at the bench. You know who's never out? LeBron is never out.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, at the end of the day, I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying it's going to take for the Lakers to win. But if it's no consistency with people being available, if we put the ball in Austin Reeves' hands and then you stink it up, but you have a few games that look good, and then we say, okay, you're going to be an option. Cool. And then you don't end up doing what you're supposed to do. D'Angelo Russell, he gets 44 points. First thing he says, yeah, I could have been that nigga if what's homie name?
Ham?
Nah. Dennis Schroeder was 11. What the fuck he got to do with this? What's going on right now? Yo, you know, nigga 44, instead of talking about, yeah, I may need the ball in my hands. I feel more comfortable in the system. I want to get LeBron involved, but this is how, nigga brings up Dennis Schroeder. And and by the way, for our fans who was watching, we apologize because all of us messed up because we just haven't been watching Toronto or Brooklyn. Schroeder's on the Nets now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we had said Toronto. But, that's what he talks about. So I agree with your assessment of what it's going to take for the Lakers to win, but you got five niggas out every night. You got a nigga, Anthony Davis, who's potentially not going to play in the second half. You got sporadic play from D'Lo and from Austin Reeves. I don't know what else LeBron is supposed to do, to be totally honest with you. I'm not saying that wouldn't work what you're saying, but how is it going to work with no consistency from anybody?
That's actually what got to happen because that's how the consistency is going to be developed. You know how you have to put somebody in a position and pause, they might not do well. Some days they're going to have off nights, but you understand the long-term goal. The long-term goal is this person is going to be better for this and the team is going to be better because of this. And we're going to have to take those learning woes as we go because that's the only way they win in the off season. I mean, in the postseason. Because if right now they keep this same thing where, you know, LeBron, they get inconsistent, LeBron come back and save the team. He's getting older. He's not going to be able to do that in the postseason.
And that's 100% right. So we got to sit here and wait for y'all niggas to figure it out. And I'm 39. I may not be around. I ain't got a lot of postseasons left. Secondly, motherfucking D'Angelo Russell, Dennis Schroeder won a championship with LeBron. So you can sit here and say what you want about Dennis Schroeder. He won a chip. Bubble or no bubble. So
yeah, he did win a chip so down there in Orlando. So you can
say whatever. I know one thing. They didn't have to defer to him and try to say, let's figure it out what's going on and what's going to happen and all this nonsense. Y'all niggas is getting paid too much money for this bullshit, man. So I Mace may be 100% right, but.
No, I'm talking about it's the coach. Like when you playing for a coach and he say, you know what? If you come bringing up the ball and he say, get the ball to him. It's not that you're deferring to him. If you don't do what the coach says, then you come in to sit on the bench. So those are the things that's controlling players why they're not doing certain things. They have to be given the green light. This is why some players do well on certain teams because the coach give them the green light. Now, if the coach says, you know what? This is LeBron's team. That's different than when they said, this is how Boston won. They said, Rondo, it's your team. And they had Paul Pierce, they had Kevin Garnett, they had Ray Allen. But the moment they said, Rondo, this is your team, they won the championship. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the Boston Celtics had Doc Rivers. The whole thing with the Lakers is that the coach is on the court. The coach and the GM is playing while you're on the court. Darvin Ham, if you think he's really the coach, then you wow. Yeah. You know who the coach is. Yeah, LeBron James is the coach. LeBron James is the GM.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, because LeBron ain't that type of nigga. LeBron, as much as he's the leading scorer ever in the NBA, he's top 10 in assists.
Yeah.
He ain't no killer, and he could be. I'm just saying he's not Kobe. He's not Michael Jordan. He's a very unselfish player.
Yeah.
Very unselfish player to even what you referred about with D-Wade to the point where we had to figure out, stop passing so much. You got to be the main nigga. He's not a selfish player. So when you ain't doing good shit, you just ain't doing good shit. Because LeBron is one of them niggas that want to see you get off. Pause.
Yeah.
He want to see you get off. So, look, man, the coach on the floor as far as I'm concerned, because if Darwin Ham is if LeBron don't want you there, you ain't going to be there. That's just that.
Mm. Okay. And then switching gears to football real quick. So we know the Cowboys have been pretty quiet during free agency.
Oh, my goodness. The Cowboys again.
Yes. So right now they're slightly reworking Dak Prescott's contract to reduce cap hit. So they're reworking the contract, including having two more voidable years in 2027 and 2028, which pushed Prescott's salary cap number in 2025 up slightly to $40 million. Just in general, when do you guys think it would be time for the Cowboys to start looking into other quarterback options? And then do you think the team has too much confidence in Dak?
Let's do that tomorrow or when Mo come back.
Yeah.
Let's end with pause. What's going on with Saucy Santana and Gilbert Arenas, man? What the fuck is up with that, yo? What's up with Gil? And I be calling co-signing for Gil. What's up with that? Did you see what's going on?
Yes.
You said you've been co-signing for Gil. What Gil do now?
Gil was watching Saucy Santana Twerk talking about, I don't know, just maybe.
Maybe what?
Ask that. What's going on, man?
Gil going crazy.
I'm going out now. See, Gil when I talk going, about what I see.
No, I'm talking about Gilbert Arenas.
Oh, I thought you said okay. Cam going crazy.
Okay, no. So yeah, let me explain. So if you haven't seen the clip, it's Swaggy P and Gilbert Arenas. I guess there is a video of Saucy Santana doing a little dance. And Gil said, I'm not going to lie. If I had a rate between who's better, him or Megan Thee Stallion, I don't know who I'm going to throw my dollars to, dog. A good show is a good show.
Wow, Gil.
And Saucy, oh my gosh, Saucy responded basically saying that Gil, you know, was his crush for a minute. Let me find it. Because Saucy... Y'all are laughing, but like, I like laughs.
Y'all serious?
I'm dead ass.
Yo, pull his money out.
Oh, my gosh.
Gil has some hundreds in his pipe for this shit out.
He's throwing hundreds?
At the screen.
That's wild.
Yeah. Gil said, it just gets more. There's more. He says, Sauce, listen, you can't talk and you can't look at me. How are you supposed to get a lap dance from the dude? All I'm saying is it was twerking just a little better than Megan Thee Stallion. I had to double back to make sure it's the same person. And then Saucy Santana said, wait, ayo, Gil, let me holla at you. I had a crush on you since I was a kid. You my baby daddy.
Hey, yo, I'm out on that. Yeah, I gotta go.
No.
Gil is wildin'.
No comments?
No, Gil, my man, Paul, I can't stand with him on this.
They was drunk, though. They was high. They was high. So.
I've been drunk, too. I've been drunk a lot of times.
They were like, what's that called? Hangover high.
I don't care what high I am. Cocaine high. I never sniffed cocaine, but E-pill high. Well, I don't care what.
Look at Larry. Look at Larry.
Because let me ask you, you been that high?
Nah, I never got that high.
Y'all got mad serious quick.
Yeah, listen, man. It's hard, pause, because it's like, Gil gave us so much game, man. You know, he underdog fantasy family, man, so... Let me tap out, Gil. We gonna leave it alone. Focus on female asses, Gil. You got kids out there looking up to you, man.
Yeah, Gil.
Yeah. And listen, Just like they say, all good money, all money ain't good money. All shows ain't good shows, man.
Yeah.
My nigga, though.
What did Nick Young say?
Nick was kind of quiet. Like, it was one of those things, like, he said some things back, but he was kind of like, what?
Nick had the, you might not want to say that vibe. Like, he wasn't saying that, but he had the, you know, Nick should have said it, because that's his man, you know, them niggas. Them, and both of them are homeboy, but Nick should have hit the, yo, let's stop this right now.
That's what Nick said, but I think.
Did he? I'm not sure.
I think people are scared of homeboy.
Who?
Saucy.
Yeah, niggas are scared of Saucy. Because, you know what? Saucy tells niggas that he going to knock them out and then fuck them after they knocked out. Niggas are scared of Sauce. Nobody got time for Sauce. Niggas do not want beef with Sauce. He on some preacher shit, bro. Yeah. Niggas don't want no Sauce with Sauce. Pause.
Okay, y'all. Well,
I thought we end with that because I seen it all over yesterday, and I was like, "Damn, man!" And so
what was the outcome?
This is the last thing I seen. Saucy response. She said, "He pardon me." He said, "He said." I don't know if we trolling or we not trolling or whatever, but when niggas say shit like this is Saucy's last response. I didn't see Gil's last response. I know Gil's gonna say he was trolling. But Saucy's last response was that, see, these niggas say shit like that because they be having this in their brain, like, pause. The ass be fat, you be like, yo, if I threw a wig on it, maybe I just might. This is the shit Gil and them thinking about. This is what Sauce said.
Gil Wallin. Ain't no chill, Gil.
Yeah,
shout out to Gil. Shout out to Gil.
Big shout out to Gil Nick. And Nick, man.
And yeah, Saucy's a fan of the show too. Yeah, shout out to Sauce.
I watch Sauce from the front and from a distance.
Okay.
Yeah. Be clear. Because listen, you got to be delicate because you don't want Sauce to run down on you. You don't know what's going to happen. Yeah, be careful. You said do the show and you see Sauce at the window with the ice cream.
What would you do with Sauce in this house?
Yeah. Sauce at this window like this.
Hey, bro. Well,
time for that.
That is all the time we have for today. Thanks for watching. And as always, it is what it is.
Oh, my goodness. Super Max, like when they doing them 2 for 5.